Thank you. Good morning, church. How are you going? You all made it out in a cold morning, which is good. That's great. Fantastic. It was cold this morning. Not as cold. I live out at closer to the coast, and it's always 5 degrees warmer over there. So if you want to come to a church that's warmer, come over that way. But no, I don't want to steal you away from here. This is a great church, and I really appreciate what God's doing. Wasn't those baptisms great? I saw that during the week on Facebook, and just excited with what God's doing in this church and the different stories that come out of here. You've got a great pastor, Nathan, and also Beck, and I love his passion for people, his passion for the lost, his passion for seeing people connect and restore in family, and his passion for the church. He's probably one of the only people that I know who is as passionate about the church out of anybody else that I've met. And so I really appreciate that about him. Constantly, when I hear him speak about the church, it fires me up again about the church as far as how God uses the church and how he expands his church to see people won for Christ and led to restoration. He does have a passion for the Knights, but I'm not so sure that passion's still there, is it? It is. Poor guy. He's suffering still. Yeah, okay. I've got I wanted to share with you before I get into the message. This is kind of like the hors d'oeuvres. So I've got a prophetic psalm for you, Psalm 33. And I'm not asking you to necessarily look it up. You can if you wish. But Psalm 33, I really sense is for your church. And so I just want to read out to you some of the things that God is saying about your church. Is that okay? So you can close your eyes, you can, whatever you'd like to do, but take it in, because I really believe this is who he's saying you are. Some of these things may not be true yet, but you watch, it's going to happen. And you're going to see God move in some amazing ways. Okay. So you have a hunger and pursuit for righteousness. And righteousness simply is just a big word that just simply means his kingdom order or his kingdom blueprint. And it's both in relationship with him, but it's also in relationships, and it's also in the way that we meet other people's needs. You have a hunger and pursuit for righteousness, and it will lead you to have much to praise him for. You're actually going to not just be a people of praise, but there are songs that are in this church that are yet to be written. And you're going to be a people who write, not just out of writing a song for the sake of writing a song, but you're going to write out of your experience of what Christ is forming in you. Amen? You have experienced God as faithful. And it's one of the backbones of what you're holding to as you move forward. You understand the power of the word of the Lord. In fact, we sang about it this morning, that last song, where he said, with a word, the universe was created. And you understand the power of a word that comes from God. And a word to create, a word to heal, a word to open a door. He just has to speak it and it comes into being. And you understand that as you stand in Jesus' authority, you simply just have to speak it and it will come into being. You know that though others have made plans that adversely affected you, God's plans have the last say. I'm telling you, when men make their plans, sometimes you can see it unfold in ways that can even bring discouragement. But when God sets plans, you watch, it happens all of a sudden, and you know it's just him. And it rolls out so quickly, you're like, how on earth did that happen? It's God's. You watch it. He has plans for you that will overarch, will undo some of the plans of the things that others had for you. You are a people of his inheritance. Just let that soak in. You're a people of his inheritance. He's got an amazing inheritance. Deep waters. Deep treasures. It's incredible. It's not the size of your church that matters, but the size of your hope. And it's the last thing I really sense that God was saying for your church. It's not the size of your church. Look, your size will grow, and I expect healthy things do grow. But the size of your hope is what is going to determine what God does through this church. You're in a series at the moment, I understand, that is tackling or bringing to the forefront who you are as a church. that you are a church of hope, and in fact, it's the hope that you hold that actually is the light that you shine of Christ to this community. And I expect that over the last number of weeks, you've talked about different things with regards to hope. Is that right? So this morning, what I'd like to do is to give you three reasons for hope with healing. Is that okay? And I just wanted to journey through Luke chapter 7. And so if you have your Bibles, just to have that ready. We're also going to have a look at Hebrews chapter 11 as well, just the first verse. But Luke 7 has three stories in a row that Luke puts in a series. And I really believe that these are three different stories of hope. And whoever you are right now and wherever you're at, you will fall in one of these stories of hope. And Jesus has a way of reaching you wherever your story is at. Amen? He has a way of reaching you. And so I really believe that you're going to find that as we come out of the sermon this morning, that there is going to be in you an increase of hope and for healing, and an increase of what Jesus is going to do in and through you as a church. I don't want to be, this is, if I could just express my heart just a little bit, I don't want to be coming up to this church thinking that, hey, we're going to do some healing just while I'm here. This church needs to be a church of healing. It needs to be a place of hope. If you are a church of hope, you are a church of healing. And there are going to be people here that God specifically touches that you're going to step out in healing, not just in this church, but you're going to step out into the community and you're going to see healing. By the way, I just want to introduce to you two of our folk from church, so Caleb and Danielle. And if you just give them a big welcome, that'd be great. Be awesome. I love both these guys. I've known Caleb for a while, getting to know Danielle. Caleb's helping out with our youth and does the prayer ministry side of things with our youth. He's also running, what do you call it on the Monday night? Is it a, what was that, sorry? Oh, a Lighthouse. So the Lighthouse is the name of the youth, and it's Lighthouse Faith Ministries. So as you can imagine, they meet together and they stir each other up for faith to go out into the community, to lead people to faith and to pray for the sick. And they've seen incredible healings already, and some of the young guys who have been doing it are starting to see healings. It's amazing. So I'm really glad to have these guys here. They're going to help me minister afterwards as well. Okay, so let's get into it. I held the keys to our first house back in 1996. Okay, so that dates me a little bit. You can tell how old I am. I was 21 at the time, and so I stood with Liz. We actually bought the house. We were due to get married 9 months after we bought the house. To give you an idea, I know it's harder to get into the market today, but back then it was it wasn't easy, but it was easier. And our house cost us $89,000. Anyone buy their first house for around about that much as well? Yeah, okay, so a few people. Great. So we bought our first house prior to getting married. Our plans were that we would put some renters in the house, and then on the day that we got married, or actually after the honeymoon, we'd come back and we'd make it our own home, and that's what we did. And so, but we had the keys and we had the title deed to the house. We had all of the furniture ready to go. We bought a new lounge. Back then, the popular lounge was a material lounge with like a Coup de Lions kind of design on it. And so some of you might have had that lounge. I walked into a few homes that had the exact same lounge that we did. Like, yes, that was cool. and then we also had a new dining set. And we had a few wedding gifts. By the time we had our wedding, we had a number of wedding gifts that also was ready to go into the house. We had a hand-me-down bed, a hand-me-down wardrobe from our grandparents. And so we were ready. We had the keys, we had the title deed, ready to go in the house. When we went on our honeymoon, we had a four-week honeymoon planned. And we went up north to Queensland, where Nathan and Beck are right now. And about the third week, my wife looks at me and she says, "I can't wait to set up the house. Why should we wait one more week? Why don't we just go home earlier and set up the house?" You see, there's all the dreams of making house. This is our first home together. And so we did. We went home early and took possession of our house. Now, we had the promise, the legal right to live in the house, other than not being married. But we had the legal right to have the house for ourselves, 9 months, then 4 weeks, and now we took possession of the house. Are you getting that? When it comes to faith, faith stands on hope. Hope is the legal right. Hope is the title deed. Hope is the keys. Taking possession is the faith. I really believe that God is going to take things from this church, your hope. He's going to rise your hope in such a way that you know with certainty, I have legal right for healing. I have the keys for healing. I have everything I need to step into healing. And now what hope does is it gives you the platform now to say, and with faith, I'm going to possess it. Amen? Now you might not be convinced quite yet, but I'm telling you, hope is the foundation for faith to rise. The reason why we sometimes don't see healing is because we sometimes have not discovered the hope that we have in Jesus when it comes to healing. And we sometimes have perhaps, we've lost hope for healing. Randy Clark talks about when he was first starting to walk in and pray for healing, he used to work at a donut shop. And in the donut shop, the different people who would work alongside him, whenever there was a need for healing or a need for prayer, he would step out, and he calls it like in the marketplace. He'd step out in the marketplace and say, God, my hope says, I know this is true that you heal the sick. I know this is true. And so I'm going to start praying for people. And he did. And he saw more people healed in the marketplace than he did in his own home church. He's going, God, why is that? I think it's because sometimes in the church, we've lost hope of a Jesus that we think we know, but we don't quite know when it comes to healing. When we go into the marketplace, we tell people about Jesus and how he heals the sick. And they don't have any baggage of where they've been going, really? He heals the sick? They just, most of them, yes, okay, I would love prayer. And then they get surprised when they get healed. We need to restore hope. This church is founded on the word hope. And it must be a place where we grow in hope. So I hope that's your desire, to actually be a people of hope when it comes to healing in Jesus. This is how I know it's legal right. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, I'm going to squeeze it into a smaller verse, but and these signs will accompany those who believe. He goes on to talk about a few things, and he says, and they will place their hands on the sick people. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Here is Jesus' legal right for you. Now, we believe that when Jesus says something, that it must take place. Amen? When he says something, it is the ultimate authority on what is actually true. But sometimes we read this verse and we go, my experience says, and we start to fill in the blank, and we counter who Jesus is and what he says as true with what our experience is. So what I want you to do is to, as best you can, is to lay your experience down. It's a humbling thing to do. And say, Jesus, I want to take a hold of what you say is true. He said, believers, if you are a believer here this morning, if you're not, see me afterwards. I'm going to help you with that. But if you're a believer here this morning, he says, believers, this is what will be true of you. You will heal the sick. Now, there is the gift of healing. And, of course, there are people who have a very prominent gift on their life when it comes to healing. And I've seen many people with a very prominent gifting when it comes to healing. And they are for the encouragement and building up of the church, but they also are for the evangelist when it comes to going out to the streets and that kind of thing. But they equip the church to do the very thing that Jesus said is true of all of us. Amen? So, you, kids as well, adults, doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for, it's not dependent on that. It's dependent on who Jesus is. He says it is true of you. You can walk in healing. Okay, we're going to look at three stories. found in Luke 7. Luke puts these three together, and they do follow each other in some way, but Luke tells this story in a way that we pick up on three different kinds of hope. The first we find is an unshakable hope, the second is a lost hope, and the third is a questioning hope. And no matter where you are, you're probably in one of these three. An unshakable hope has said, yes, Jesus, I believe exactly what you said. I'm not seeing it all the time. You come and heal, but I believe it will come. It's just a matter of time. There will be healing that happens. It's an unshakable hope. The second is a lost hope. It's too late for hope. Something's died. A person close to you perhaps is dead. Maybe a dream is dead. Maybe there's been some sort of reason why this could not happen anymore. But there's a lost hope, and maybe even a discouragement, a great discouragement in some way. The third one, questioning hope, is somebody who's looking from the side. They know that Jesus is the Messiah, but they're questioning as to whether this has to be true because they've seen the way that Jesus has ministered in certain ways, and now they're not sure whether, see, they got offended at maybe at the man of God. They got offended at what Jesus said, or they got offended with something, and now they're not sure whether Jesus is actually who he is. And there's a questioning hope. Can I place my hope in Jesus? Is he who he says he is? There's three different kinds of hope. So place yourself in one of those for the moment, and you'll find Jesus meets them in each spot. Luke chapter 7, and we find in the very first story, it's a short one, it's between verse 1 and 10, and to summarize this story, it has to do with a centurion who's a Roman, of course. He's a Roman citizen, and he has charge over a company of soldiers. And he happens to have, amongst one of his servants who is highly valued, a servant that is so sick, he's about to die. It says in the very next part of his story is that the centurion knew that Jesus, and he had heard about Jesus, that he'd been healing people. Now, we don't have the explanation as to what it was that he'd heard or to the extent that he'd heard it, but he had an understanding that Jesus had healed some people, and he'd come up with, we'll find in just a moment, some key principles or revelation that grounded his hope. He says to some of the Jewish elders, would you go on my behalf and speak to Jesus and ask Jesus if he would come and heal my servant? We have no other options for my servant. And so he sends some elders. I find this quite funny in a way because a lot of the elders in Jesus' day refused Jesus as the Messiah. And here they go on behalf of a centurion. And of course, it'd be a lot of elders. So I don't know if there's the same ones in some cases, but they go on behalf of the centurion and they find Jesus and they say to Jesus, would you come and heal this man's servant? This man has been a blessing to the Jewish people. He has helped build one of the synagogues and he loves the nation of Israel, which was quite an interesting picture of a Roman citizen, especially a centurion, because a lot of the Jewish people had bad memories or bad experiences with Roman soldiers and the like. They were oppressors of the nation of Israel. Israel was subservient in taxes, subservient in the way that they had to look to the emperor. So, here these elders are, they come to see Jesus. Jesus had every right to say no. But instead, he says, yes, I will come. Now, just as Jesus was getting close, he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, now this is in verse 6, going into verse 7, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word. Can you say word? Maybe just try that again. Let's practice it. Say word.
Word.
Great. Okay, so say the word. You don't have to say that again. Okay. Say the word. That's what Jesus said. That's what he said. And my servant will be healed. And here's the reason why he believes so strongly that when Jesus just simply said the word, that his servant would be healed. For, verse 8, I myself am a man under authority. Say authority. I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. So he has a revelation of Jesus. He's heard about how Jesus heals the sick. And he takes this logical step. Some people say Jesus is not logical, but I disagree. I think he's very logical. Sometimes he acts outside of logic, but in many cases, he's very logical. And so he takes what he knows about Jesus. He's healed the sick. No man is able to heal the sick unless they have authority over sickness or the demonic oppression over that person. Now we have in Jesus' day, they had this common thought that sickness and oppression of an evil spirit were oftentimes linked. We don't, in the Western society, we've tried to divide the two. I think it's actually closer to Jesus' day than what we think. But he determines he has power over healing, therefore his authority is greater than any of the sickness, any evil spirit that could be at play here. Then he thinks of himself and says, I know what that's about because I'm a man of authority. And if I just simply say to one of my soldiers, you must go and you must do this particular task, they do it to the T. Their obedience, that's how the Roman soldiers and army were so well disciplined, because they were a people that would do exactly as they were told. And so he says, I know exactly how that works. So when Jesus says it, then it must, and so he's calculating in his head, it must come with a healing. He has greater authority. So he knows the healings he heard about must be true now for his own servant. His hope was an unshakable hope because he had a revelation. Let me tell you, you need a revelation of Jesus as healer. You need a revelation of God's nature as healer. You need a revelation of his will to heal. I had a revelation not long ago. I hadn't heard it said this way before, and it hit me. I was with one of our friends, Craig Sparrow, and he said, it's God's nature to heal. I know that. Psalm 103 says, forget not all of his benefits, that he heals the sick and he forgives our sins. So I know it's God's nature. It's his nature to heal. In fact, it even goes by the name Jehovah Rapha. You don't name somebody something that's not their nature, right? So it's his nature. He says, if it's his nature, there has to be his will, because his will cannot be in conflict with his nature. And I had a bit of a revelation. Hang on a minute. His will is to heal, because it's in his nature. You need a revelation that it's in his nature to heal. Jesus modeled it. He modeled it not because he thought it'd be like a cool trick. He modeled it because he knew that it was in the nature of his Heavenly Father. He only ever did what the Heavenly Father said or did. And so when you see Jesus heal, you see the Heavenly Father. Amen? So you need a revelation. This is why this is so important. Hebrews 11:1 says this. This is a very familiar verse. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. If you have a revelation, it becomes the basis of your hope. And now, in the hope, you have a basis to possess it in faith. You can say faith takes possession of what hope had taken a hold of. Or you could say faith completes what hope started. I love what the Passion Translation says. Faith brings our hopes into reality. Okay? So when we pray for the sick, we pray out of our basis of hope. This is why it's so important, church, to be a church of hope. Amen? When it comes to Jesus as healer and a people who heal. So what I encourage you to do is to, in your own personal time, is to get a hold of Jesus' story. Read through some of the Gospels. See how he did it. Allow it to change you and the way that you think of who Jesus is, and also the teacher now drawing you up as disciple to become like him. There's another passage we sang about this morning. I think it was in the last song or second last song, where it talked about seeing Jesus' face as in a mirror. And it's from 2 Corinthians, I think, 4 or 5, where it says, and we behold Jesus as in a mirror or in a reflection. And so when I look in a mirror, I'm looking to see if I've got anything in my teeth, right? I'm looking to see if I'm ready to go out. I've got my hair done right. But when we look in a mirror with Jesus, we don't see our own reflection. We see Jesus. And why is this so? Because when we see Jesus, we actually see who we are called to be. We're seeing who we are in Christ. And so as we view Jesus that way, you see, you find transformation that way. Transformation doesn't come from trying harder. Transformation comes from viewing Jesus as in a mirror. And that's when you start to see, that's who I am. Jesus, you're the healer. That's who I am, right? You need a revelation. Not long ago, we had a girl come to our church. She was visiting, and she was visiting actually with my niece. So they came back to our house after church for lunch. We had, I think, a healing that morning, and we were sharing about that. And she was really excited about what had happened at church. The moment she walked into our house, her eyes just went poof, like this, like red. And not because she had a demon, mind you, okay? Right? So that's what you're thinking. I could tell. Yeah, yeah. So Michael's about to jump and tackle her. But anyway, so so her eyes went red because she had an allergy. We've got two cats, and all of a sudden just the cat fur in the air, I don't know how it works, but ended up with big red eyes and then also sneezing all the time. And I'm saying, Elise, you don't need to have this. We need to pray for you. I like our cats, right? I like other people to like our cats as well. Some people are dog people, and I know some people need the affection of a dog, but I like cats, right? So, yes, I got that one in there. is that right, Caleb? I think I offended half the people here just now. So we've got to pray for you. She said, can you not just pray for my allergies with pets, but also, can you pray? We're about to go on a road trip. So they were about to drive from Newcastle down to Canberra. We're about to go down to Canberra. Would you mind praying for me also? Because I get car sickness. Ever since I was a child, I get car sickness. And I throw up without fail every time. I'm like, that's not of God. You know, we've got to pray for that. So we laid hands on her. And little Jake, our youngest, he's 10 years old. He laid hands on her as well. And hey, I encourage your families, get your kids praying. There's power in kids standing in what Jesus does. They have faith sometimes that outworks yours. So allow them to be a part of it. Anyway, so we're praying for Elise. We got some pictures for her, as in God gave us a bit of a vision of some certain things that we started to cast off. And then afterwards, she goes, oh, I feel great. Now, nothing changed right there. Later on that week, she calls and she says, do you know what? I traveled to Canberra and I did not throw up. Praise God. And she has traveled a number of times now, and she has not thrown up. And she said, and I went into one of the houses of my friends who had pets, and I did not have any allergic problems. Right? Now, here was a girl. She saw what Jesus was doing in the service. She knew of Jesus' healing. She'd seen it before. She had a hope already. I could tell before we prayed for her, and you hear Paul say this sometimes when he writes about visiting people and that there was faith to actually heal. What he's seeing is hope. He's seeing hope there, and they're ready to stand into something where faith takes possession of it. So that's an unshakable hope. That's where we want to get you to, an unshakable hope. The next story is found in verse 11. You still with me? Doing okay? Rightio. This one is for those who have lost hope. Now Jesus, soon afterwards, he goes into another town called Nain. And in this town, he is a bit of bad luck because he comes straight into a funeral. Walks straight into a funeral. So you can imagine, you've just had an amazing time where you've seen a centurion's servant, or you've heard of the centurion's servant, healed. You walk into this next town, and like everybody's morbid, and rightly so, they've just a lady has just lost her only son. She's a widow as well. And so here she is, crying. We pick up Jesus' response. You need to hear how Jesus responds to those who lost hope. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Now, it's a bit of a heartless thing to say to somebody, don't cry, if you're not intending to do something about it, right? Don't cry. It's right to grieve the lost. But Jesus says to her, don't cry. And the reason he says that is because he is saying, what he's doing is he's lifting her hope into what is possible in Jesus. Now, she doesn't know what's going to happen next. And it's not her faith that does the outworking next. Jesus actually, you need to hear this, because Jesus will sometimes move with such compassion, he'll move without anybody's laying on of hands. We've seen this happen in church a few times where just as I'm preaching, somebody gets healed. And I can count at least three times that's happened. We had one girl who had an ankle injury. She had rolled her ankle at netball that week. And she came to church not able to put any weight on her ankle. And she had heard about how God had healed somebody else of an ankle injury. She goes, God, I'm claiming that for myself. And right there in her seat, nobody laid hands on her. Nobody prayed over her. Nobody even knew necessarily, unless I was sitting next to her, you could see her foot bandaged up, that she was praying right there. But she tested it out. As soon as she was allowed to stand up, she tested it out. It's fixed, right? She's walking around it. She comes up to me, Steve, I got healed during the service. No one laid hands on me. It just got healed while you were preaching. Jesus will sometimes step into a place where you weren't expecting him to step into and will go further. Ever pray for somebody and they've gotten healed or something's broken through in their life? You're like, oh, I didn't expect that. He moved beyond you, right? And I'm so glad he does, because that's sometimes we gain understanding from just simply stepping out in faith. But here is this lady, she's lost her son. Jesus goes over and he touches the coffin. And he simply says this, young man, I say to you, get up. Doesn't speak to any of the infirmity that happened. Doesn't speak to death itself. He simply says to the man as though he's asleep, just get up. Just two simple words. I love how Jesus does this. In fact, it's kind of what the previous story knew of, that Jesus would just say a word and healing would come. But this was kind of unprecedented, that Jesus would say a word and a dead person rise. Dead hope, all of a sudden answered with hope. Jesus oozes hope. You have no idea the dead spaces in your life that you thought were unreachable. His hope is even greater. We don't even have to talk about healing. There might be other areas in your life that you're like, God, I don't even know if he can touch this area. He can. His hope extends there. Who Jesus is incredible. And so he says simply, get up. Now this young man, it goes on to record, he sits up in his coffin and he starts talking. He doesn't say what he says, but I can just imagine it. Gee, I'm hungry. What's for lunch? What was my eulogy like? Who came to my funeral, right? I can imagine what he said, right? But here he is, he sits up, he starts talking, and he gives the boy back to his mother. That's lost hope, how Jesus meets our lost hope. Let me tell you about questioning hope. Verse 18, John the Baptist, he'd been a part of, if you're aware of his story, he'd been a part of introducing people to Jesus as the Messiah. So he saw the dove from heaven fall on Jesus. He understood that was the Spirit of God. And he knew that that was the sign he was looking for. God had already prepared his heart for it. And said, John, when you see the Spirit descend on the man of God, that is the Messiah. And so he saw it and he called it out. Even some of his disciples, as he mentioned to them, there goes the Lamb of God. He watched his own disciples get released to go and follow Jesus. And so John's disciples slowly dwindled, even though he continued to do a baptism of repentance. And for some people, you might think John perhaps didn't have a clear understanding of what was happening. And it maybe it's true in some senses. He is a prophet, and he is somebody who understands God's heart. But I just imagine for John here, he's now questioning, is it Jesus? Is Jesus truly the Messiah? Because I thought that. Now, he might have had some, like the other disciples, if he was like any of the other disciples, his thought that this would happen would be this. I thought that you would have established the kingdom by now. I thought that you would have overthrown Rome by now, and here I am in prison. I thought that, right? And he fills in all the blanks. And so he sends messengers to Jesus with questioning hope. Are you the Messiah? I want you to see what Jesus does in response, because you need to hear this. If your hope is like, I think I know that Jesus heals, but my experience is so loud, I'm not sure I can take a hold of it. You need to hear how Jesus responds. Verse 21. He says this, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sickness, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. Four different things that they observed. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. So they saw, Jesus doesn't just simply say to them, yes, I am the Messiah, off you go. He invites them in and he basically does this. He says, just observe to see for yourself whether I'm the Messiah or not. If you have questioning hope, Jesus just simply says, just observe. We've had this happen a few times where we've had some guys in our church who are questioning whether Jesus moves in healing. I said, hey, just come with us to some, you know, ministry space, maybe like this. That's not for Caleb and Danielle. I haven't invited them. They're here to do this. But I've had others where I've invited them to come just to observe what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I say to them before, don't worry about trying to pray for the sick. Don't worry about trying to do any of that. All I want you to do is just to observe what the Holy Spirit is doing. And then I want you to tell me afterwards what you saw. And this is what Jesus does. He invites them in. He allows them space to observe. They see a number of healings. And also they've heard about what Jesus is doing. Because the list goes on to things that they hadn't seen in the previous verse. He says, they heard the blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And so all these things, both what they had seen and also what they had heard with their own ears, other people tell. Do you know, a testimony is just as powerful when you see a testimony and also when you've heard about a testimony. Now you might go, yeah, I've heard that testimony, but I'm a little bit skeptical. I've got a guy that I'm ministering it to at the moment who's not a Christian. And he says, yeah, I think it's the placebo effect of why people get healed, right? I'm saying, just come and observe. Just come and have a look for yourself, because it's definitely not the placebo effect, I can tell you. I mean, a dead person raised to life, what placebo effect happened there for that guy? There was no placebo, right? Jesus, just come and observe. And so he invites them in. If you'll just come and observe, if you'll listen to testimony of where you've heard, maybe it's of somebody who's reputable to you, maybe you know the person, maybe you can ask the person what had actually happened and get it verified, but maybe it's something that you just know that as you hear it, yeah, that's of God, I know that's from Him. And so gather those testimonies, because those testimonies do what? They build hope. As you hear testimonies, you're like, I'll have that. I'll have what she's having, right? I'll take that. And so hope reaches for what's possible in Jesus. Lastly, Jesus says, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Interesting. See, a lot of people in Jesus' day, Pharisees in particular, they would see what Jesus did and they say, man, I said, it has to be of some nature of supernatural. I think it's God, but I can't reconcile the man because he heals on the Sabbath, and that's just not what we do. Or, you know, he doesn't come and sit with all of us who have been searching out for God all this time. He spends his time with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. That doesn't sound like God to me, right? And so they get offended by the man. And so they miss what? They miss what the Holy Spirit's doing. So don't get offended by the man. Sometimes you'll have somebody come and minister and they are dressed completely different to what you would expect. We had a guy in our church who was with us for a little while. You guys might have met him. And he had a tat on the back of his head that said, God's warrior son. And maybe you've met him, I'm not sure. But anyway, we're like, God, are you really at work through this guy, right? But as he started to minister to people, you see, yep, okay, I see God's hand there. I see God's hand there. So don't get offended by the man. See what the Holy Spirit is doing. Make that your testimony. And as the testimony rises, what are you doing? You're building hope. You're building on hope. And as you build more and more, as you hear more and more testimonies, as you continue to lean in on praying for people and you see your first healing and then your second healing and then you see one of your mates gets healed, all of a sudden you start to see hope is rising. Amen? Three different places that Jesus ministers into. They go back, they tell John about what's happening. They're really excited. I imagine for John, it answered a lot of questions for him. And he would soon lose his life not long after that. I'm not saying if you have questioning hope, you're going to lose your life soon after. Please don't hear that. But John, in his particular case, did. So we need to be a people who are ready to hear testimony. And I think testimonies are powerful. Now, church, why is this so important? And we're going to finish with this. The reason why this is so important is we live in a community that is so easily losing hope. We live in a community where there are people who are searching for, where is God in this? Why did he allow this to happen? Why didn't he stop this from happening? How could I end up with this sickness? How could I end up with this situation? And so we live in a community where they need a church of hope. We must grab a hold of what Jesus has modeled for us and be a light to our community. You might think, well, you know what? I'm not good with people. Well, get alongside somebody who is and walk with them. Well, I'm not great at praying for people in public. Well, learn quickly because you need to, right? Well, I'm not sure that God will move if I do it because I've got all of these lists of reasons why God would not move through me. Hang on a minute. Is your hope in you or is your hope in Jesus? Because if it's in Jesus, all the things that you could list off have nothing to do with what he wants to use to heal that person. So, he's calling us. We have a community that needs a people of hope. I was with a principal at one of our schools, and he had lost hope in some ways. He called me into the principal's office, and normally that situation was for a different reason, being in the principal's office. But on this occasion, he closed the door, and he starts to get teary, and he says, Steve, I don't really have anybody else to talk to, but this week I found out some really horrible news. This has been something that has been a similar story years past, but for whatever reason, this particular two stories that he had in front of him really grabbed his heart, and he really struggled to move past it. And he said, Steve, I've just been told that two of the mums in our school, as in the kids' mums, have just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and they've been only given a matter of months to live. And the kids don't know yet, but the parents have asked if they could meet with me and the kids and to deliver the news to them. And so this is not unusual. That happens sometimes with a principal of a school. But on this occasion, he said, Steve, and he started to cry. He said, I don't know how to tell them. He said, I've seen this happen before, but for some reason, this has just really stumped me. I don't know what to say to them. And so we talked for quite some time about the hope that we can find in Jesus that goes beyond the grave and why it is that we can remain with hope right now in situations even like this. And I prayed with him. There are people who are looking for answers and looking for hope. You know them. Chances are if I was to drill down and ask you, who do you know? There's somebody amongst who you know who has lost hope. And really, hope is only established on truth, and there's only one major truth, and it's in Christ. And so when we establish it on here, it's an anchor that cannot be moved. It's a hope that that is above all any other hopes. You know, some people say, I hope this will happen, but they're not speaking of a truth that's grounded. They're speaking of, I wish, in a way, I wish that this would happen. But when we say we hope, we say that we have a truth that we've centered on. It's in Jesus. Amen? Okay, so I don't know where your story lies, whether it's in unshakable hope or it's on its way there, or whether it's in questioning hope or whether it's in I've lost hope. But wherever you are, Jesus wants to meet you where you're at. We're going to just really trust God for some healings in just a moment. And I know there's some people here in this church who have tremendous need. Some of you I've prayed for many times before, and we want to pray with you again, not because it's something that we're just kind of hoping for, but because we're commanded, even in the wait. See, hope waits even when there is no solution straight away. Hope is the foundation that goes, hey, I'm receiving this opposition right now, or the doctor said this about me right now, or this is true of me right now from what has been told. But it's not what is true, because my hope is founded on something that is true, on who Jesus is. And he said, you'll walk with healing. It is in his nature, it is in his will. And so we're going to believe for that this morning. Amen? Okay, so let me just pray, and then we'll just see what God does next. Okay, so if you want to just close your eyes, let's talk to God. Oh, Father God, thank you so much for your compassion for us. Thank you that you didn't leave us without a hope. Thank you, Lord God, that you sent your only Son, Jesus, and he was so willing to be our sacrifice. He was so willing to be the one who took stripes, who took the whipping upon his back. It says, by his stripes we are healed. He was so willing to stand on in our place. And in every way, he acted on and acted in the heart of you, Father God. And so, Father God, we want to be a church who grows in hope, not just H2O, but Lakes, the New Vine Network, churches in our local area. We want to be a church that grows in an unshakable hope of who you are, Jesus, and who you are for us. The greatest grace that we've received is the gift of you, Jesus. And so, Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for how you call us as a church to lean in on the name of Jesus and to believe for the things that are only ours through you, to believe for the things that are only ours through what you have promised us. Lord, in hope, would you lead us to possess what is only possible in hope, in faith? We ask in Jesus' name. Lord God, for those who are here this morning who have tremendous need, who have been sitting on the edge of their seat hoping that they'd be prayed for this morning, perhaps even questioning, God, can you even touch me? Father God, raise hope right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, bring tremendous testimonies out of this church of what you're doing. Thank you for the healings that we've received in this church in the past. Lord God, raise up a people who are a people who walk in the healing of Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. I've got a few words of knowledge. I've asked these guys to also prepare some words of knowledge as well. And I'm going to ask you, if this is you, to stand, if you're willing to, of course. You don't have to. You don't have to be prayed for. We're not going to wrestle you to the ground if you don't want to be. But if this is you and you would like prayer. This word that I got was to do with, and I'm just going to go for it. I'm a little bit nervous about this one, but a brain injury or some sort of head trauma. If you've had head trauma before, and this particular person gets headaches, I sense that there was some hearing loss, and also that a stent had been used as well in their brain. If that's you, then we'd love to pray for you. If they're not here this morning, maybe you know the person. Yeah? Okay. So who is that person? Right? Is that all true of her? Right. Okay. So we're going to delegate some people to go and pray for her. Amen? Right. Okay. Okay. This next person I have is somebody who continues to come down with colds. It's like unusual. It's not like I get a cold every now and then like normal people do. But this is like an unusual bout of colds all the time. And or it seems all the time. you get pretty bad infections, and especially on the lungs. If that's you, then I'd love for you to stand as well. That would encourage me a lot as well. Okay. Do we know anyone that has that? That's okay. Rightio. And the last one was that I had was carpal tunnel. Is there somebody here with carpal tunnel? A lot of us. Okay. I had particularly the left wrist with carpal tunnel. So if that's you, come and see me afterwards. I'm going to get Caleb. Do you want to come up? And Daniel as well.
Morning, everyone. I am Caleb, and this is my lovely girlfriend, Danielle. So great to be here. Thank you very much for having us. Awesome. It's an honor. Especially like as of lately with the whole faith ministries thing, I'm kind of very new to this entire thing as well. So just a couple things that God's sort of been trying to highlight to me this morning. Has anyone got an issue with their left hip? Left hip? Is it like the socket, especially kind of thing? No worries. An old broken ankle, so not a current broken ankle, but a broken ankle that's caused you issues, you used to have like a stent on it, like a moon boot, that's the word. But now it just kind of continually aches and just hasn't properly fully been healed yet. Is that anyone here? We've got some dobbing in over here. Oh, that's funny. Not here, you're saying? Okay. Arthritis in the elbows. Wasn't specifically any specific elbow, just elbows. No. And then I got chest pain, but I think it kind of highlighted a bit more as to what's it? Heartburn. That's what it's called. Bad heartburn. No? Okay, awesome.
Got a couple.
I was just talking to God this morning, and He gave me, and it seems like a bit of a usual one, but sore back, and I feel like there might be more than one, maybe from sports injury or even just like sleeping bad. Something like that. Okay, we're just going to pray for all the backs, yeah. and a bit of a weird one, but I feel like God's kind of putting on my heart things that we don't necessarily understand or know, and it might be a bit strange, and you don't know where it's come from, and He definitely wants to pray for those sorts of things. But seizures and like those sort of things, anybody? It's pretty specific. I was a bit nervous to say that one. That's good.
Rightio. Okay, so what we're going to do is, if we haven't called out like your ailment that you're hoping to see healed, what we're going to do is we're going to use this time just for this moment. What we want to do is to activate the church in praying for each other. So if you would like healing, it can be something was named this morning just now, or it could be that it hasn't been named yet and you would like healing. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. And so we're going to do that first, and then we're going to get everybody else to stand around you and to start praying for you. And so we're going to start there. And if you still haven't had healing in the things that you were hoping for, then we're going to ask you to come to the front, and we're going to pray for you as well. So, okay, so if you would like healing, whether it's been named or not, would you like to stand right now? And what the words of knowledge do is it also helps you to go, yes, God knows what's going on for me right now. So it builds hope in that as well. Okay, so church, we've got a few people standing. Anybody else? Okay, so everybody else becomes active participants now of praying for those who are standing right now. What I'd like you to do is when you go to stand with them is to simply ask them, what is it that you'd like prayer for? And then to ask them, is it something that is painful right now? And then finally, as you pray for them, to ask them just to check it out in a way, if they can. Some things you can't check out, but if you can check it out, then to test that out right now. I know that we're going over time. Is it okay to keep going? Yep, okay. For those who need healing, they go, yes, of course, yep, okay. Right, so church, do not be silent in this. You might be John the Baptist in this. You might, like, you know what, I just want to observe. But get off your seat and come and observe what the Holy Spirit is doing. And for those who have the faith to actually pray for healing, I'd like you to stand. So you can do that now. And Yes, you can do that now. Great. And then find the person that's near you and start to interview them. And then let's start to pray for them. I want to make sure that everybody's got somebody with them. Okay, so we have up the back as well. Yep. Rightio. So if you're just sitting there and you're not sure what to do, I'll just encourage you to perhaps even just keep with your eyes open, but just be praying. God, just show me what you're doing right now. Fantastic. Okay, if you've, can I just get a bit of an idea for those who've been prayed for, and if it's something you could test out, has there been any shift? And when I say any shift, it's better than, like, if it was an 8 out of 10, it's gone down to at least even a 5 out of 10. Yeah? Okay, do you want to come forward? You can share a bit about that. Yeah? Is that okay? You don't have to, of course, but good. Oh, yeah, okay. You'd like that. Yes, please. I'll have what they're having. Great. So do you want to just quickly just share what's happened for you?
Yeah, I've had a lot of extreme pain in my hip, and the girls prayed over me, and it has gone down a few degrees. So, I mean, that's better than nothing. So, yeah, and yeah, so that's really good. And I suffer from chronic fatigue as well, and the girls have prayed that it would be stopped. So I'm feeling a little bit better, not as druggy, sorry for want of a better word, but
so a couple of months ago I got the flu, and once that kind of subsided, my asthma really flared up, and I had to get preventatives and all of that because I wasn't on that previously. And just as everyone got up, then my asthma really flared up, and I just started getting short of breath. And I said to Steve, "Yeah, I think that I'm that case you were just discussing previously." So he just prayed for me and prayed for me three times, and I got a lot of warmth in my lungs, and I just felt something kind of released then, which is awesome. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Did you have healing as well?
I get a lot of back pain, and so we're praying for my back. And as they started praying, the pain just went away, but like a warmth, but also it felt like a peace, which is weird for a back, but like a peace in my spine. I don't know, but it just feels completely, there's no pain at all. So it's awesome.
Wow. That's great. Okay, anybody else had some healing? This is really important. The testimony really does start to build hope in who Jesus is, so that the next time you step out in faith based on the hope that you're building in your life on Jesus. Amen.